Let's continue in prayer with a prayer for illumination. Lord God, we do come to this place to learn more about you, to be transformed more and more into images of you for ourselves and for this world and for you. As we turn now to your word to us in Scripture, we pray that you would bless the words on this page, the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, that through this time together we may better understand you and the calling that you have put on our lives. So all of this we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture passage for today comes from the book of Genesis. Listen to God's holy word. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You shall eat freely of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmate." So out of the ground, the Lord God formed every animal of the field and bird of the air, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, to every animal of the field. But for the man there was not found a helpmate. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then God took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man said, "This at last is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. This one shall be called woman, for out of man this was taken. Therefore a man leaves his father and his mother and clings to his wife, and they become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed." Our gospel passage comes from the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus' closing words to his disciples. Listen again for God's word. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'Remember, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains and abides. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say, Amen. What is friendship? And why do we have friends? It's a little bit nicer of a question than, "Are there snakes in heaven?" Anyway, what is friendship and why do we have friends? And what does Christianity, faith, and the Bible have to say about these questions? These are questions that were posed by some of the youth in our extended church community. And they come from what is a common time during adolescence. It's an exciting time for young people. It's a time when many young people start to reflect upon their life in important and big ways. They begin examining their life and asking questions that on the face of things seem rather simple and yet are almost impossible to answer. What is friendship? Why do we have friends, and what makes for a good friendship? And as people of faith, how does the reality of God relate to our experience with the people whom we call our friends? These are good questions to ask, for they make us stop and think and reflect and examine our lives and the decisions that we make and are making about our time and our activities and our energies. So why do we have friends? In thinking about this question, the first thing that pops into my mind are the ways that friends are and can be helpful. There are many social situations where not having a friend nearby would be a total disaster. Getting along in school would be almost impossible without friends to stand with in the halls, to do homework with, to join together in sports teams or club activities, to eat with during lunch, or to walk home with after the closing bell has rung. It is helpful to have friends at work. When we are working, we spend most of our time at work, and so having friends And being friends with the people at work allows us to get along with our daily lives with some ease and maybe even some joy. Moving, in my opinion, a lifetime of dedicated work putting into cultivating good friends would be worthwhile if only for the help that friends offer when you move. Helping carry boxes and furniture, loading and unloading a moving truck, this alone, in my experience, would justify friendship. Passing time. What else would you do on a Friday night or a Saturday if it weren't for friends to hang out with, to have meals with, to play cards with, to go on camping trips with? Loneliness, despair, and trouble. Perhaps friends are functional in keeping us from some of the darker possibilities in our emotional lives. These are all good reasons to have friends, but these ideas, these reasons for friendship, as I considered them, they didn't strike me as the core or the bedrock reasons for friendship. Is friendship really about functionality? Is friendship essentially an aid for getting us through a world that would otherwise be rather difficult and full of challenging social interactions and heavy boxes to lift? Asking about friendship from a biblical point of view, that yields deeper meaning. Based on what I have found in Scripture, I don't think that friendship and human relationships, communion and community, is first and foremost a functional thing. Instead, from what I find in Scripture, I think that friendship is an expression of what we call the Imago Dei, which is the fancy pastor way of saying the image of God. In the book of Genesis, we are told that we are made in the image or the likeness of God. Scholars debate what exactly it means that we are image bearers of God, but I believe it relates to our human capacity, our human way of flourishing while in mutual loving and caring relationships. God in God's own being is eternally, always, and forever in relationship. For we confess to believe that God is not a lonely being, but a being that consists of three centers of activity, three identities, three persons together composing one God. I'm talking about the idea that our God is a Trinity. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. This idea that God is a Trinity is only revealed later in our Scriptures. But Christian theology teaches that God was always and will always be a Trinity. God is eternally and always three persons in a dance of friendship. Three persons living together in cooperation, engagement, friendship, and love. And thus, friendship is at the core of the very existence of God. Being made in the image of this God means that we too are made to be in relationship. We are made to receive love and to give love. We are made not to be best when we are alone or isolated, but we are made to be best when we are with others in community, in the dance of mutual love, care, life, and friendship. In our passage from the book of Genesis, we have a break in the pattern that was earlier established. God is creating the heavens and the earth, and each step along the way, God is declaring the goodness of that which God has called into existence. God separates the light from the darkness, and God sees that it is good. God brings forth the land, separating it from the sea, and God declares that it is good. God sees the plants and the animals, the birds and the fish, and God sees that they are good. But here, for the first time in the creation story, God describes something that is not good. The first human being, the Adam, formed from the Adama, or the earth, is alone. God, the Trinity of love and relationships, looks down and sees that the human is alone. And God declares, it is not good that the man should be alone. It is in response to this loneliness that God creates another human being, a suitable partner, a friend, a helpmate for Adam. In doing so, God gives Adam the ability to live into the imago Dei, the reality that at our core, we are made to be in relationship as God is in relationship. Adam and Eve together form the first human community, the first human friendship, a friendship of mutual love and care. In this passage, Eve is called a helpmate for Adam. And it's a term that has often been wrongly interpreted to mean that Eve, and perhaps therefore all of womankind in general, was made to serve a subservient role to man. But this can hardly be the case, as the Hebrew word for helpmate, azer, is a term that elsewhere in Scripture is used to describe God. Later in Scripture, Moses names one of his sons Eliezer. Eliezer. El is a name in the Hebrew language for God. El. And the second part of the name is the word azer, which is the word helpmate. By giving this name to his son, Moses is praising and celebrating God for being Moses' helpmate. Moses is saying, on that long journey of my life, from the burning bush to the confrontation with Pharaoh, through the wilderness journey that God led me on towards the promised land, God was there as my azer, my helpmate. Later still in Scripture, Jesus continues to reveal God's nature as our willing and beloved helpmate. Not only does Jesus call his disciples to serve him and his needs, to follow his commands, to carry out his work, but Jesus also cares for them. He models for them what love looks like. He serves their needs. He calls his disciples to do great work in his name. But Jesus serves them as well. He washes their feet. He cooks them breakfast. He gives them love, fellowship, and friendship. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a trinity of mutual love and care. And God has made us to exist well when we too live in relationships of mutual care and love. So what is friendship? And why do we have friends? From what we find in the Scriptures, we can say that God has made us in such a way that friendship comes naturally to us. God has made us to be agents of love and to experience the love of others. God has made us to flourish when we and the people that we have in our lives live and care for us. And when we have people, when we live to care for others, and when we have people in our lives who care for us. God's example and the witness of Scripture reveals that a good friendship is a relationship of mutual love, mutual care, and mutual encouragement. For these reasons, I believe that God's example and the witness of Scripture, they call us to cultivate and to celebrate friendships, where one is not always the servant of the other, but instead where we cultivate friendships, where we each share in the roles of servant and served, lover and beloved, giver and receiver, helper and helped. Adam and Eve before the fall had a relationship of mutual care and support. They shared their lives. They shared the work of caring for the Garden of Eden. They shared together in walks with the God who came and walked with them among the trees in that peaceful place. Moses was called to follow God's instructions and commands, but Moses also experienced God as a helper and as a friend. God had expectations for Moses, but God was there with Moses to help and to care for him on his life's journey. Jesus called his disciples to do his work, but he fed them. He washed their feet. He showed them perfect love and the promise that he would be with them always, even to the end of the age. What is friendship? Why do we have friends? On its face, this is a simple question, but it is almost impossible to answer. And so my prayer is that God will continue to help us understand what is good and right in our lives and in our relationships. And that as we come to a deeper understanding of God and God's ways, we'd be able to image those ways more and more in our lives. Thanks be to God. Amen.